Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of light in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. 4-0, please press the number one to speak. You can also reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, the criminalization of the black community. It's a lot of crime in the black community. I know y'all brought, some people might be saying, what? But we're talking about tonight, we're going to talk about the criminalization of the black community in this instance. Criminologists say black people are more likely to be stopped by police, assaulted by police, arrested by police, and convicted of a crime. It's more to it than that. That's just a short version of it. You want to check it out, just check out. There's lots, tons of books out there. Clayton Hargin, different types of, you know, criminologists that speak about this phenomenon. Here is one woman's story that I came across. I thought it was very interesting because it just seemed like the police were just intent on, you know, criminalizing this woman, making sure that she got hit with some kind of crime, charged with something. So, but first, to all or any law enforcement officers who are professional and do not seek to assault, abduct, and criminalize the population they serve, thank you. From the HuffPost, our story starts from a says in Rochester, New York, right? And this is where I think I saw this on YouTube. I think that's where I caught wind of it. It was a video of these cops. They had a lady with a baby. They had stopped her on a suspicion of a theft, retail theft or something like that. You know, anyway, the black man was accused by a store owner, a Rite Aid store owner in Rochester, New York, right, of stealing, of theft. When stopped by the police outside the store, the woman declined, you know, the accusations. I ain't steal nothing. She opened her little bag she had, took stuff out, took the cops a look. You know, I ain't stole nothing. So, and you can hear one of the officers say to her, oh, come on. They said you stole. Tell me what you took. And he said on to that, he said, I don't have time for BS. You better be quick with me. So here we have this woman is basically tried on the street by the police officers. She's guilty. Just admit to what you did. It might be in those kung fu movies where they bring a guy in and they just want him to admit to a crime he hasn't done. And then they get to the intimidation part of the thing. They put some kind of stuff on him, trying to make him confess. So they try to intimidate her into confessing verbally. When it's not just verbal intimidation when you have a gun on you and you have other people around you that have guns. So we know that what kind of situation this is. So anyway, the police officer asked her to get into the car to be taken back to the store, the scene of the alleged crime, right? When she ran from him with a child in her arms. I think the kid was like 3 years old. They chased her, ordered her to put the child down, tackle her, and pepper sprayed her appropriately, right? At one point, another officer arrives to pull the woman's child as she's clutching to the toddler's arm. The first officer then tackles the mother. Okay? Police say the toddler was not sprayed or physically injured. Not physically injured, but I'm sure he was mentally injured. Though clearly, the mother was extremely emotionally distraught, right? So was the child. Another officer trying to, they say, calm the desperate toddler. We heard asking a colleague to block the scene from the public with his car because it doesn't look good that I have to restrain a three-year-old. Okay, so we're looking at this whole scenario. So it gets a little deeper than this. And it's not a surprise to me, and I know it's probably not a surprise to most people listening to this show, but I just thought I'd just talk about it today, tonight. Running is a definite indication that someone is guilty of something. Is that right? Do we believe that? Because somebody runs, it's an indication that they're guilty of something. Now they simply just have to find something she's guilty of, because it sure isn't retail theft, as you will see. Pepper spray is supposed to be a non-lethal form of self-defense. Pepper spray in New York must be used for self-defense purposes only. Any other use can result in criminal charges. The police never charged the woman with assaulting an officer. Therefore, the pepper spray could not have been used in self-defense. If you watch the video, there is no threat to the police officers. Will criminal charges be filed? I don't think so. Right? We know the police are not getting charged with no criminal charges. We know that. They pepper sprayed her like an animal that they wanted to control. So they used the pepper spray like they used the, shot that they were giving people at one time that they're not supposed to give people. Use it like that, you know, to subdue her as a weapon. I say it doesn't look good wrestling a three-year-old from their mother. And it doesn't look good that the police tackle and pepper spray a woman carrying a child that they had just searched and found nothing connecting her to an alleged retail theft. They had just searched this lady. She allowed them to search her. She never resisted them and said, she constantly said, hey, I didn't steal anything. I guess they're going to say they gave a lawful order, since the video shows the only person in fear were the woman and the child. So the cops could have been in fear of anything, which I haven't heard anybody say anything like that yet. I don't know. Just in case, U.S. legal lawful order is any order of court which is not erroneous, wrong, or incorrect, right? Municipal training, police training council says, regarding determining the objective reasonableness of force, right? Says, number one, when used, force should only be that which is objectively reasonable given the circumstances perceived by the officer at the time of the event. And our event is we have an accused person of fleeing police because she don't want to get in the police car with her child to go back to the store, who accused her of stealing. The Supreme Court has defined the objective reasonableness standard as a balance between the rights of a person being arrested and the government interest that allows the use of force. The Fourth Amendment protects U.S. citizens from unreasonable searches and seizures, the category into which an arrest falls. Now, that's not telling us much. That sounds like somebody can do what they want to do, right? If we rely on police officers' perception, he would never be wrong or convicted of wrongdoing. This is on objectivity based on what he's experiencing. Hell, I would never be wrong of stuff I've done. Webster's Dictionary: objectively means not subjective or biased, based on observable facts rather than feelings or opinions. That's very important right there, y'all. Objectively means not subjectively or biased. So you can't look at a person and say, yeah, I think she stole, because you feel that way about her who she is and how she looks. You have to have observable facts, stuff you could see, like a stolen item. Knowledge of a stolen item, evidence of the item that was stolen. Those are observable facts, which so far none were present in this case. Right? Reasonable means, from the Oxford Dictionary, that was from Webster's, right? This is from the Oxford Dictionary. Reasonable means fair and sensible, which I'm thinking we all can understand that, right? So, this is neither objective nor reasonable. I say it was downright subjective and unreasonable and based on the police feelings and opinions. The man said, the police officer said, oh, come on. They said you stole. That's a conviction. Right? He convicted her just basically on what the people said. Tell me what you took. Bam. Right? Adding, I don't have time to BS. You better be quick with me. But that sounds like I might even go upside your head if you don't, you know, confess to the crime so we can go in and lock, get to locking you up and going about our day. So that's a threat. The Municipal Police Training Council, factors that may be, this is from that, factors that may be used in determining the reasonableness of force include, but are not limited to, the severity of the crime or circumstances. Well, being suspected of retail theft, right? Nothing serious about an alleged retail theft, a nonviolent crime. I think we all can agree on that. This is a nonviolent crime. So if the crime is nonviolent, the individual is nonviolent, there was no threat to the police officers, why the pepper spray? Right? The level and immediacy of threat or resistance posed by the suspect. There was no threat from the suspect, right? All threats came from law enforcement, right? She wasn't charged with assaulting a police officer, nothing. The potential for injury to citizens, officers, and suspects. Well, pepper spray to the woman's eye was intended to cause temporary injury or impairment. So the only person that's guilty of injuring somebody, the citizen that was injured, was the alleged suspect. The risk or attempt of the suspect to escape. Doesn't a person have to be under arrest or in the commission of a crime to attempt to escape? Once placed under arrest and you run, you are trying to escape. If you're not convicted of a crime, you searched her, you didn't find anything on her, you asked her to go back to get in a car, she wasn't placed under arrest. So how was she, she can't be trying to escape anybody. She's just getting away from some people that she feels treating her unjustly. Her only, the only thing she did, the only thing she could do, run. There was no crime, no evidence of a crime, no arrest. The woman was carrying a 3-year-old. Running does not mean you are guilty. It could mean that the person is afraid. Oh, but she couldn't possibly be afraid, though. She should be used to being arrested and, accosted by the police. That should be a par for the course for her, I guess. Then they said the other thing on that determines is the knowledge, training, and experience of the officer, which I found to be, woo, what does that mean? Knowledge, training, and experience of the officer. This factor places all citizens at risk. Ignorance of the law is no excuse for breaking the law. Lack of training is even less of an excuse. If a police officer's training does not prepare him to address an issue, he should not be engaging anyone in that particular issue. So if he's a rookie, the fact that he's a rookie should not have any bearing on the decision. But you should know better. You know how to treat people. You should know what to do as a police officer. Anyway, they say officers, subject considerations such as size, age, relative strength, skill level, injury, or exhaustion, and the number of officers or suspects. Well, the police had all the advantages, right? No need for pepper spray by any stretch of the imagination. Watch the video, y'all. It's on YouTube. No need to throw this woman to the ground. Come on. Because she ran away from you? Then they said other environmental conditions and exigent circumstances outside of your control, right? So anyway, there's also a thing called a duty to intervene. Any officer present and observing another officer using force that he or she reasonably believes to be clearly beyond that which is objectively reasonable under the circumstances shall intercede to prevent the use of unreasonable force if and when that officer has a realistic opportunity to present to prevent harm. Does that ever happen? I think I remember a case where a black lady intervened with a white cop choking a black guy. And I think he slapped her in the face or something. Whatever happened, she got fired or something. She reported it. She got fired. I think she's just getting that's another story, though. She's just getting money for the time that they fired her unjustly. I think she's got a case now against the municipality she worked for. So if one officer is determined to have unreasonably assaulted the woman with pepper spray, the other officers could be guilty of neglecting their duty to intervene, if not as co-defendants. Maybe that is why they only single out one police officer, damage control, by controlling the narrative. See here, we want to criminalize the black woman, and we want to make sure that these police officers who are acting out of pocket don't get criminalized. We got to investigate this. These factors favor law enforcement and therefore place civilians at risk of misuse and abuse because it's vaguely interpreted. And lots of wiggle room for a guy to describe what he's doing as being something within the letter of the law or what the law allows. Some might say, if the police stop you, just do what they tell you to do and everything will be all right. I guess that's what they told Orlando Castillo, the man who was licensed to carry. Got stopped by the police, traffic stop. Told the police officer he had I'm licensed to carry, I have a gun on me. The guy asked for his paperwork. He reached for his paperwork. The guy shot him, I don't know, about four times, maybe point blank range with his wife, his woman, and his baby girl in the back seat. So, anyway, the story went on and said the officer involved was placed on administrative leave pending an internal investigation. Here we go again. An investigation, or, as my friend says, opportunity to explain away the actions of the police. Why only one officer when about officers were on the scene? And at least two made contact with the woman or the child. Already the case has been minimized or reduced to just one officer. If it were a group of civilians, all present would be charged with something related to this crime. They all would be co-defendants. Here's the clincher. Remember, these police officers stopped this woman for an alleged retail theft of something unknown, unbeknown to them, from a Rite Aid store, right? They said the unidentified woman was charged with trespassing and given a desk appearance ticket. Now, somebody help me with that one. How are you stopping me on the street, searching me for something I stole? You abduct me, you attack me, assault me, and abduct me, lock me up. While I'm in jail, I get charged with trespassing. Somebody help me out with that, because I'm going to admit, I'm not a very smart guy. And this is above my pay grade right here. How can you be charged with something that they didn't even accuse you of doing in originally? Well, the story goes on. The plot thickens. Right? How could she be charged with trespassing when they accused her of retail theft? That's what I said. That's what I keep saying. She denied stealing anything and allowed the police to search her bag. Check out the video. They then wanted to take her back to the store, back to Rite Aid, to the people who accused her of stealing. It is simply a case of the employee's word against the woman's. Why search her when you don't find anything? You proceed to attempt to take her back to the person who falsely accused her. To assault to injury, the police stated she was resisting arrest when she was not told she was under arrest. After she voluntarily allowed them to search her belongings, she cooperated. The lady simply refused to get into the police vehicle and be driven back to the store. All of this with no evidence of theft, just the word of a store employee. Oh, I forgot to mention, Rite Aid employees are incapable of lying. They always tell the truth. The police never stated what the woman stole. When they stopped her, they didn't state what she stole, what they said she stole, right? So what were they looking for? You're just searching somebody for. You don't even know what you're looking for. How was taking her back to the store owner going to prove she stole anything if she didn't steal anything and they didn't find anything that was stolen? And they didn't. Why didn't the employees tell the police what she had stolen if they had witnessed her stealing? Now, that's very, very important right there. Because you got to ask yourself, what were these cops looking for? What did the woman steal? Like, if someone steals your car, you tell the police, they stole my car. It's a black Cadillac. It's a 2020 Cadillac. You know what I'm saying? With black seats, on the outside, chrome bumpers, sunroofs, license plate, blase, blase, blase. You're going to tell them something. They stole my watch. You know what I'm saying? It's a Timex. Got diamond at 12 and a diamond at the 6. You're going to tell them something. They stole my hat. Right? It's a beaver. It's a black beaver with a red feather. Something. These officers went on a witch hunt with little to no information pertinent to the alleged crime. Yet they had the nerve to approach her like she did steal something. They had no information. All they had was an accusation. The police officer's behavior showed the woman that her word and cooperation, allowing the police to search her belongings, meant nothing, and that the store employee's word would be used to determine her innocence or guilt. Hell, seemed like she was just guilty, period. The lady takes off running with her 3-year-old child and is chased. Child snatched from her arms. She's taken to the ground and pepper sprayed by those hero cops just doing their job. Pepper spray was totally unnecessary. The woman was not out of control, was not under arrest, and had previously cooperated with being searched. She was verbally charged with resisting an arrest when she was never informed that she was under arrest. They asked or told her to get into the car with her child so they could take her back to the store. Faced with the obvious attempt to unjustly criminalize her, she did the only thing she could do. She ran away. And some people might say that's not a good move. Hey, but this lady, that was the best move she could think of based on the what had just happened to her. What is also alarming is the righteous attitude the officers had about the whole situation, tackling and pepper spraying a woman and taking the child out of her arms, then saying she was all right. They had the nerve to talk like they were consoling the traumatized child when both the mother and child were not okay, but in mental and physical duress. The woman was accused of a crime, presumed guilty, even after a search produced no stolen item. She was attacked by police who accused her of resisting arrest on the scene. She was later charged with trespassing after stopping her for suspicion of retail theft. All of that while acting like they did nothing wrong. Something is very wrong with this picture, and it is not just the pepper spraying. Because I think the main issue here with the police department is the pepper spraying of this woman with this child and the trauma they caused to the child. And I think the whole process from the beginning, that they did no investigation with the right age dad, as you will find out. This is more than just pepper spraying somebody. You know, it says profiling, number one, racial profiling, if you may. The woman did not present a threat to the police. At least one police officer expressed he believed she stole, regardless of the absence of evidence of theft, saying, oh, come on. They said you stole. Rite Aid employees never tell a lie. They never do. So remember that when you walk into Rite Aid. Those employees are incapable of lying. I don't have time for this BS. You better be quick with me. That is intimidation. Men with guns accusing you of something you didn't do, threatening and rushing you to confess to a crime you did not commit. That's very intimidating. This woman had no reason to trust these police officers, had her best interest at this point. And add to that, the climate in America just right now, even though this whole thing about police brutality to the black community, that's nothing new. That didn't just pop up in 2020. That didn't just pop up with George Floyd and these other brothers. This thing's been going on since we've been here. All right? So this thing about police brutality is nothing new. It's not a new phenomenon. The officer recanted the incident, stating that what is he supposed to think when he finds her, the suspect, and she runs away? Like, he's like, well, I'm supposed to think, you know, you ran away. We approached you, you ran away. So I'm supposed to think you're guilty, because if you run away, you must be guilty. It makes him think she's guilty, he said. That validates the actual search meant nothing. That says that, because this is after they chased it down. So he's trying to tell her, well, you ran. You must have been guilty of something. You ran. Well, that's validation that actual search that she allowed to happen, it meant nothing to this officer. Probable cause, probably because it did not produce any incriminating evidence that would convict the woman. So that search meant nothing to him, because they didn't find nothing to lock her up about. So it's apparent these guys are looking, trying to lock this woman up. They already got it in their mind, they're going to lock her up. You stole something, Just give it up and hurry up. Don't BS with me because I might do something to you. And you know we've been doing something to y'all. And, you know, it's all over the news and YouTube. We're doing something to folks all over this country. I didn't say all that. But that's got to come to mind when the cop says something like that to you. The officer stated he was familiar with the woman being involved in another incident, like a fight and having a child. And I'm like, so what? She's a mother, and mothers usually have their children. If anything is going to happen, it's probably going to happen while she has her child with her. That has nothing to do with this incident. That is simply their way of demonizing the victim to validate their misconduct and abuse. Because you know how it happens whenever they do something to somebody, they start digging up dirt on you. You jaywalk, you spin in the street, cuss the teacher out, you brought weed into school one day, you know, you got a conviction 2 years ago, oh, you got a history, you got a criminal history, you know, you just a ratchet mother, you know, excuse me, hush your mouth. Anyway, you know how they do that. So, you know, they're trying to make sure that people get paint a picture. They paint a picture of you, say you're really not a good person, and you kind of deserve some of this stuff that's happening to you. Rite Aid staff, right? Good old Rite Aid staff could not identify what the woman stole, right? After they locked this lady up, they went back and did an investigation, right? One of the staff said he saw her put something in her bag. The other stated she did not see her steal anything. One store employee stated he went back to check on the safety of the woman and the child, and the woman cursed him out. She was asked to leave the store, and this ordeal went on for about 3 whole minutes. 3 whole, very long minutes. Still, there was no evidence of theft, and apparently no evidence of trespassing. Or was there? Theft is what the woman was originally accused of. How did she get charged with trespassing after being assaulted and abducted by law enforcement? Sounds like this woman's constitutional rights, the Fourth Amendment, due process, Miranda rights, civil rights, equal treatment under the law, have been grossly violated. You can't make up charges off the cuff like they do in the movies, or can you? Maybe the movies is art imitating life. Anyway, so the police look to convict the woman of something in the course of 3 minutes of being told to leave the store. The police charged the woman with trespassing for not leaving the store during the alleged 3 minute confrontation with store staff who was attempting to have a conversation with the woman. This is the store she did leave, because when they approached her, she was not in the store. Not even the employees accused the woman of trespassing. They charged her with theft. They accused her of theft. Falsely accused her of theft. This charge comes after she was assaulted and abducted by police. So y'all just put yourself in this woman's place. You didn't steal nothing. Police telling you stole. Somebody told the police you stole something. They never witnessed you steal anything. You didn't steal anything. Police approach you, tell you you stole something. You tell them, I didn't steal nothing. Search me here. Nothing, and they still want to take you down to the store for something they don't even know what they're looking for. So what the hell is this criminal trespass thing all about? So a person is guilty of criminal trespass in the third degree when he knowingly enters or remains unlawfully in a building or upon real property. So that means if you come into somebody's property unlawfully, not supposed to be there, and you stay there, right? You trespass. You can't just walk in somebody's house. Say you accidentally walk in somebody's house, they ask you to leave, you need to leave. You need to exit. Stage left, right? So, she didn't trespass to get into Rite Aid. The door was open to the public. So, Rite Aid is a public place. It's maybe a private business, but it's open to the public. So, they say, upon the property which is fenced or otherwise enclosed in a manner designed to exclude intruders. So you come over my fence, you trespass, right? Where the building is utilized as an elementary or secondary school for children, over camp, overnight camp, or defined as in section 1392 of the public health law for a summer day camp, right? So places, basically places you don't belong at. Located within a city with a population in excess of 1 million and where the building or real property is utilized as an elementary or a secondary school, right? Located outside the city, the population, right? Same thing, you know, basically they got the hard on it. Don't break any, but basically, I'm going to give you a short version. You can't break into these schools. You can't trespass in the schools or schools used for care of children. They all hit you with something and you had no business there in the first place, right? Where a building is used as a public housing project, violation of conspicuously posted rules or regulations governing entry or use of thereof. Where the building is used as a public housing project in violation of personally committed, communicated request to leave the premises from a housing police officer or another person in charge thereof. So criminal trespass in the third degree is a Class B misdemeanor. Well, the woman did not unlawfully enter Rite Aid. She didn't do any. She didn't come in there unlawfully. Fact is, the woman did leave Rite Aid after cussing the employee out. 3 minutes is not a long time. There is no statute that says if remaining there for 3 minutes after being asked to leave constitutes trespassing. And she didn't come over a gate, Rite Aid wasn't closed, and she was in there. She was in there as a patron. It's a stretch and exaggeration and an abuse of power, trust, and the law to charge this woman with trespassing simply because they could not get her on the retail theft charges. Police sought to criminalize this downtrodden mother because they could. They had no case. So they created one. After all, she had to be guilty of something. She's black, poor, and she ran from the good old police. You can't forget that. 3 minutes. Are they kidding? Nope. It's business as usual. Criminalizing, demonizing, assaulting the black population while validating the actions of the police department. And they committed these acts trying to sound nice. Listen to the video. Caring and social. This is exactly why folk don't trust police. They never take responsibility or heart. I don't know. Is there anybody, police officer, that ever took responsibility for their actions? Or do they always try to just wiggle their way out of it? Because they're always trying to save them. They never take responsibility for their poor behavior and decision-making, but are quick to make folk pay the price for their behavior and poor decisions, guilty or not. Case in point, this woman, who they stopped for retail theft, found nothing, had no witnesses to a theft, was falsely accused, and was charged with trespassing, because she remained in the Rite Aid, cussing the Rite Aid staff out for allegedly about 3 minutes. We don't even know if it was 3 minutes. because I know for sure he wasn't watching his watch, looking at his watch while she was cussing him out. Anyway, the Rite Aid employees originally stated the woman stole from the store, but when asked what did she steal, neither employee identified an item they witnessed the woman actually steal. They knew at the time they informed police that the woman had stolen something that they had not actually seen her steal anything. So they knew at the time that they informed the police that the woman had stolen something that they had not actually seen her steal anything. Yet they made a false report accusing the woman of theft. They had, by their own admission, had no proof, no evidence, not witnessed the woman stealing anything. This came up as a result of the investigation. The Rite Aid employee who accused the woman of stealing are guilty of falsely reporting or falsely accusing a woman of theft, according to the New York State law. Yet, the lawman doing the investigation didn't think so after his investigation. He didn't think that the evidence of these two Rite Aid prayer mouth accusers was not enough to charge them with falsely accusing this woman. Why? Because he wasn't looking to criminalize the Rite Aid employees. He wasn't looking for a crime that they committed. He wasn't actually doing an investigation. What he was doing, he was looking for information, right, that he could throw at this vulnerable black woman. And he did just that. Now, all the talk is about the pepper spray, but I got a problem with the whole process, and especially the part where this so-called investigation supposed to took place. And if he wasn't doing a real investigation, he would have charged Rite Aid staff with falsely filing a report. And he didn't do that. What he did was he hit this lady with a bogus trespassing charge. New York Consolidated Law, Penal Law, Penn, State Statute 240.50, falsely reporting incident in the third degree. New York Code, a person is guilty of falsely reporting an incident in the third degree when knowingly the information reported, conveyed, or circulated to be false or baseless. Now, would y'all say that if you accuse somebody of stealing, right, and you don't know what they stole, you didn't see what they stole, but you say it was baseless to call the police and say, hey, he stole. But you say that was baseless. I would. Yet this officer didn't see it fit. He didn't see fit to charge them with nothing because Rite Aid staff are incapable of lying. All right? Black woman with a baby, downtrodden. All she's going to do is lie. That's the mentality. You can't do police work. You cannot do police work if you're not being objective. You're being subjective. You're not doing police work. You're just being a racist. Anyway, they convey or circulated to be false. The information they conveyed or circulated to be false or baseless, or he or she initiates or circulates a false report or warning of an alleged occurrence or impending occurrence of a crime, catastrophe, or emergency under circumstances in which it is not unlikely that public alarm or inconvenience will result, or reports by word or action to an official or quasi-official agency or organization having the function of dealing with emergencies involving danger to life or property, an alleged occurrence or impending occurrence of a catastrophe or emergency which did not in fact occur or does not in fact exist, gratuitously, unjustly, or without good reason, right? Reports to a law enforcement officer or agency the alleged occurrence of an offense or incident which did not in fact occur, did not happen. So these Rite Aid employees were very wrong, and intentionally wrong, apparently. It said, or an allegedly impending occurrence of an offense or incident in which, in fact, is not about to occur. False information relating to an actual offense or incident or the alleged implication of some person therein, or reports by word or action an alleged occurrence or condition of child abuse or maltreatment, abuse, neglect of a vulnerable person, which did not, in fact. So if you just lie on somebody to the police, you made a false report. And these guys lied. They didn't see nothing. But they, how you going to tell the police, you know, somebody stole something, you ain't see them steal nothing? Say you went back there to see if she was okay. Guess she was lying about that too. Falsely reporting an incident in the third degree is a Class A misdemeanor. Okay? Well, they are guilty of, number one, initiating or circulating a false report. They reported the woman stole something. They ain't seen her steal nothing. Colombo didn't catch that because he wasn't doing an investigation. Reports by word or action to an official quasi-military agency. Police department is a quasi-official agency, quasi-military. Reported to them unjustly without good reason. Reports to a law enforcement agency, right? She did that. The only just a good reason for reporting a theft is that a theft actually took place and there are eyewitnesses to the theft. And these people are only, this is what I'm talking about, controlling the narrative. You know, I'm reading about this pepper spray and this woman. And I don't know, I hope that these folks are looking at more than just pepper spray. Because if this man went back and did an investigation, after coming back from his investigation, it was revealed that these two citizens, or whatever you want to call them, gave a false report, and he didn't charge them with nothing. They don't have to go to court. They don't get a day in court. Because actually, them telling that lie could put the police in jeopardy. Because you don't know how that situation could have unraveled. Because you don't know who might have been out there backing that woman's play. And that could have turned into something very nasty. So I start thinking, why was this report made? Or should I say, what was the motive for the report? And so you know, this is how you know this cop ain't doing no, because I'm getting this probably third-hand information, and I'm coming up with this. One Rite Aid employee told police the woman cursed him out for about 3 minutes before leaving the store. I'd say revenge is the motive for the false police report. So here we got motives, and we got a false police report. And this police officer doing an investigation came back with trespassing because a woman, because the liar, the person that gave the false report, stated that she remained in the store about 3 minutes after he asked her to leave because she was cussing him out. Something is wrong with this picture. Yet the police officer, in his investigation of the alleged theft, thought it be fitting to charge the woman with trespassing because it allegedly took her about 3 minutes to leave the store after the employee told her to leave. The same employee who lied in the first place. Why are you even believing anything this guy's saying? 3 minutes is a very short time. And I doubt very seriously that the employee was watching his watch while getting cursed out. This kangaroo investigation was simply the police officer's method of criminalizing the woman after finding no evidence of the original charge of theft. The officer was here to convict the woman of something which had been his goal from the time he set out to find the falsely accused. He didn't care nothing about the evidence. Now, she is falsely accused by law enforcement to validate and justify the demeaning treatment and confinement of the woman. Rite Aid staff never accused a woman of trespassing. The police did not approach the woman because of a report of trespassing. She is charged with trespassing after she was abducted by the police. Something is wrong with this picture. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, I'm going to try to follow the story because pepper spray seemed to be the main story. That seemed to be the prevailing issue in this story, and I'm saying this is way bigger than pepper spray. Pepper spray is big, but this is it's more than pepper spray. The hell with the evidence of falsely accusing or giving a false report of which they had proof, evidence by the testimony of the Rite Aid staff that they did not see the woman steal anything. They have a motive for making the false report, but still, no arrest for falsely reporting. That is more evidence that the police officer was merely looking for information to build a case against the woman, the black woman. So, I smell a racist. From this law firm, a false arrest happens when police officer detains and arrests a citizen without having met the standards set forth in the law. There is an outstanding warrant on the citizen. There's reasonable cause to believe that the individual was involved in a criminal offense. If the officer believes the citizen is suspected of as a suspected felon trying to flee the scene, she's not a felon. This is a retail theft that they already know she don't have none. If the citizen is interfering with a lawful investigation or arrest, nope. So, a reasonable cause to believe that someone was involved and a crime is a witness to the crime. That's reasonable. I'm the witness. There was no witness to the crime. By their own admission, there's no witness to the crime. The police had the information. There is no witness to any crime. But now they got this lady locked up. We got to find a crime. We got to hit her with something. Can't just lock her up and We're going to find something to put on her. This she jaywalk. She spit in the street. The woman was pepper sprayed, assaulted, abducted, and detained for what? Running away from police with a child in her arms? What kind of a threat did she present? And if so, why wasn't she charged with threatening or assaulting a police officer? Is it because she did not threaten, nor was she a threat to the police? The only threat that day was the police, who threw the woman to the ground and sprayed her eyes with pepper spray, abducted her, and unlawfully detained her. Come on, this is retail theft here. You have no proof of... The investigation should have took place before you went after this lady, number one. And you would have found out that there was no need to go after her because nobody saw any theft. But when people want to prejudge you, they want to take the word of a person who has a job in an establishment over a person who they deem as unworthy of any kind of rights that they need to respect. That's what happens. You get hounded down because they don't value you. They don't value your rights, and they value what people say about you over whatever you say or do. And that's what happened to this lady right here. They didn't give a crap about what she could have stripped, and they still would have took her back to that store trying to find something on her. Her running away helped them in some way. I guess in their minds, oh, yeah, she's guilty. She ran away. No, she's running away because now she's afraid because, hey, I didn't steal nothing. What do you mean go back to the store? Y'all just search me. Now she's like, she's a little, oh, what's going on here? You know what I'm saying? Sandra Bland. Traffic stop. Didn't want to put a cigarette out. Cop assaulted her. Arrested her, put her in jail, and she was found hung in a cell. Was it any false arrest charges placed on that police officer? For they don't have to put her cigarette out. But they charged that cop with anything like that? No. He should have been in jail. He should have been held partially responsible for her death because she's dead because of his arrest, his false arrest. So why would this lady trust that after she cooperated with them? You know, it's too much going on, and she doesn't feel like she has any protection under the law, and definitely not with these guys who are approaching her as if she is guilty without any evidence. There is no warrant. There is no evidence of death. Police had not identified the alleged item that was stolen. There is no felony. And the investigation was over after searching the woman produced no stolen items. That was your investigation. But taking her back to Rite Aid was not going to make a stolen item appear. Especially if there is no stolen item. So, what if Rite Aid employees identified the woman as the alleged suspect? No one knows what was stolen or if something was stolen, right? It appears the only thing these officers were looking for was something that might remotely incriminate this woman. And I'm saying remotely because I can't think of another word. Because you trying to say somebody was trespassing in a store because a guy who lied on her said she was in there for about 3 minutes after he told her to leave. her word ain't worth a wooden nickel. The woman did the only thing she could do faced with being placed in this dubious situation. Oh my God. It seems like they're trying to arrest me for something I didn't do. They want me to get in a car with my child. They don't even care that I got a little baby with me. And I let them search me. And they don't care. They just want to find something to convict me of. It wouldn't be the first time an innocent person was charged with a crime they didn't commit. She was charged with a crime she didn't commit anyway. But she was convicted on the street of theft when they approached her. That is evident by what the police officer said. They couldn't make that stick. So they went back to doing an investigation, a digging, some dirt digging. How can we swing this? Make sure we knock this girl upside the head with it, with something. That's what they did. Anyway, Rochester mayor called the video disturbing. We have a caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello. Hey, how you doing, Carlo?
Q, what's up, brother?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey. The 3 minutes. What happened? What is the 3 minutes again, exactly? What do they claim is three minutes?
After they locked this lady, after they assaulted her, abducted her, and threw her in a cell, they went back to do an investigation to see what had happened at Rite Aid. Turned out that they never saw this lady steal nothing. They filed a false report. They thought she stole something. They had no witness of theft and nothing that was missing. So the cop asked him through the conversation, it turns out that he had asked her to leave. And she said, how long did she stay in the house? How long you stayed in the store after you said that? He said, about 3 minutes, right? So this coming
That's
from
the
same
said, three
guy.
Minutes.
Yeah, the Rite Aid employee said she about 3 minutes before she left after he told her to leave. So the cop seen it be fitting to charge the woman, right, with trespassing.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't see it to charge them with filing a false police report after they admitted they never saw her steal nothing.
I doubt if she was even there for 3 minutes.
What are you watching? Is watching?
When somebody goes into the cursing somebody out thing, they're not like hanging around thinking of something else to buy. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the grand exit. Curse you out,
right,
and I'm out. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
So it don't take no 3 minutes to curse somebody out. That's like, you know how long that is? That's very long. It's a very long time to curse somebody out.
Well.
So she was probably there less than that.
Right. She left, though. Point is, she left.
And she left. Right.
Yeah. Point is, she left. Even if it was 3 minutes, that's not a long time. 3 minutes? Okay. She ain't there for 3 minutes. That's she asked her to leave. Okay. And did she leave? That's what we want to know. Because your store is open to the public. It ain't like she's in your house and you ask her to leave and she's staying there for 3 minutes. Feel me? She's cussing you out because y'all in conflict. We don't know what happened. And, you know, he came in asking, was she all right? Which don't sound right there. You asked her, was she all right? But you charged her with theft. You know what I'm saying? That don't sound right. You went from asking, was she all right, to calling the police to say she stole something that you didn't see. Well, that to me, that's a motive. Why did you call the police on her? She cussed you out. So now you're pissed off. I'm going to call the police on her. I think she was stealing. That's motive. I don't, whether it's motive or not, that is motive. Whether it's actually true or not, it's motive. And it exists. You know what I'm saying? It exists,
mm-hmm.
and it's motive for him to do that. Whether he did that or not remains to be proven somewhere. But the police didn't even care about that. because they were on a racist tip. I'm going to convict her or something. He didn't even care about the crime they committed. He didn't even care that they sent them on a wild goose chase. Suppose that was a guy with a gun and he shot a couple of them. They had a shootout over a false complaint. Suppose that was a guy, or suppose he had some people out there that had was strapped, and they saw that. You know what I'm saying? Say, oh, leave her alone. She ain't still not. You just searched it. Suppose that turned into something, a fist fight.
Yeah.
Fist fight with the cops turned into shooting. We know it's going to turn into. They're going to shoot because they're going to get scared. I fear for my life. I ain't out here to be fighting these people. You're going to get tired. Eventually, when you get tired, somebody can take your gun. That's a fact. So, I mean, she actually put the police in jeopardy. You feel me? It's just that the suspect they were going after was a harmless suspect. It was a harmless crime. It was retail theft, and there was no evidence. The investigation should take place before the pursuit because it's retail theft. Find out what that person is saying, what they are talking about before you go harassing somebody, convicting them on the street of something they didn't do, something you can't prove that they did. That's what I'm saying. Like, yo, but you had proof of a crime right in front of you, and you didn't address it. You didn't charge them with nothing. You went and say, but she stayed in the store for about 3 minutes. You're going to charge her with trespassing, misdemeanor trespassing.
3 whole minutes.
3 minutes. Are you kidding? That's what I'm saying. And I seen an article. It's mostly about the pepper spraying thing. And I'm like, hold up, it's more than pepper spraying going on here. So they're supposed to be doing an investigation. So if their investigations don't come up with the same stuff I'm just coming up with, then we know they got a lot of racist. Well, what's Rochester, New York? I don't suspect that they favor black people in Rochester, New York anywhere. But I'm just saying, that's just evidence supporting the racism that's going on up there. You know what I'm saying? Just going to make this lady a crime, a criminal. Just, oh, yeah, she did something. She ran. Oh, yeah, she ran. She's scared now. You understand what I'm saying? That people do. They run.
All that running.
Yeah.
Black.
Yeah. They run.
Black,
yeah, she,
all that running.
She just talked to you. She just cooperated, right? That didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't run because you showed up. They made it look like they showed up and she took off running. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what they're talking about it. But no, that's not what happened. What happened was I tried to talk to you. I tried to explain to you why I didn't do anything, and I showed you. I submitted to a search, and you still want to try to incarcerate me. Nobody want to be in the back of a police car with their child. You don't even know what you're looking for. What was it she was supposed to have stolen? You didn't even. They had no idea why they were stopping this lady. And as the case unravels, you can see they had no clue. There was no police work being done. It was just some racial profiling going on. But, you know, I guess I have to follow that story, see what happens, you know, because your investigation, and then they narrowed it down to just one cop. So that's all damage control right there. You know what I'm saying? One cop on death duty. One. Well, I seen at least two involved. At least two. And if those guys were wrong, were doing something they shouldn't have been doing to that lady, the other cops have a duty to intervene. But the only time I remember, and I'm sure some police officers have intervened, but the only story I can remember is this black lady intervened when this white cop was choking this black guy. And she intervened, and she got fired. And that was, I don't know how long ago that was, but that was a minute ago. And I think she's finally just getting her money, her payback from them doing that to her. You know, she's got a lawsuit or something like that. But but that happened like years ago. So it sounds like it seems like the blue is this cold. You know what I'm saying? Like they talk about the guys on the street. The guys on the street cold, not as strong as their cold. Their cold is something else. You know what I'm saying? Cause, you know, people snitch on the street all the time. Even though they be saying they don't like snitches, there's a lot of snitching going on. But for the cops, as you see, it's very serious. As the movie Sipico, that was in the 70s or something. What was Sipico in the 70s? That's a true movie about a cop who didn't play ball. Well, they set him up. So this thing about the blue, I'm like, you know, I'm just saying about, you know, you cannot support police officers doing things they shouldn't be doing, not making all good decisions. You shouldn't support that if you're a police officer. If you do, you're part of the problem. And that's where their duty to intervene, the other police on the scene, they had a duty to intervene if they witnessed this police officer acting in a way, unbecoming an officer, not being objective about the whole situation. And he was not objective from the beginning. You making some noise over there?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, so that's what I'm saying. You know, it's the same police department where one officer was suspended and two were placed on leave a month before that incident after pepper spraying and handcuffing a 9-year-old black girl at her home. Her parents called because she was experiencing some kind of mental health crisis, right? So they pepper sprayed a little 9. What you explain that? You know what I'm saying? And then I think the article went on to say that two of these hero cops contribute to the outcome of this police assault and abduction with this woman. They found it necessary to pepper spray a 9-year-old in mental duress and pepper spray a woman who's basically afraid. So pepper spraying folk, black folk at least, seem to be what they do. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure it's people of the lower echelon. You know what I'm saying? Low end of the ladder. You know what I'm saying? At the foot of the pyramid that they doing these things to. You know, and if you don't know the law, then you got people who say they represent the law, acting as if what they're doing is within the law and being protected, their behavior being protected by the law, the people who represent, supposed to be representing you in the law, representing them in the law, and, you know, things like that. It just seems like it's just the ball is always in their court and it's going upside your head. You know what I mean? So, I was just looking at this situation. I'm like, whoa, they just made her criminal. They just made her wrong. And no matter what, that day, they was going to arrest her, and they were going to charge her with something, and they did it. They didn't care what else they found. Them people, the Rite Aid employees could have said, yeah, well, we were taking a body, a guy that we just... a patron we just put him in the back, and then I came out and this lady was in the aisle when I was, he would have ignored that. That's how racist he is. You know what I'm saying? He would have ignored that just to get to this. I think one of the guys with the right, one of the employees, I don't know if he was black or not, but that's how he was focused on this lady. They could have said anything. And he wouldn't have done nothing. I don't want y'all, I want her. I want this destitute black lady. She's guilty of something. We need to get rid of them. I don't know. Maybe don't like poor blacks in Rochester, New York. I don't know. Maybe they had, you know, people migrating up there. They trying to get rid of them. Maybe up there cutting up black people up there. They associate with the increase in crime or something. I don't know what it is. But I do know this. For this lady, for this particular incident, it's all wrong. You know what I'm saying? You didn't even know, you didn't have a, they didn't have enough information to even stop her. Except she looks like the person they accused of stealing. Stealing what? Who saw her steal what? They didn't even, that's the ammunition they need before they go out harassing people on the street. You feel me? Not how she looks. We don't care about that. What, how she looks has nothing to do with it. Who witnessed her stealing what? And the people never said that. So what made them run up the street to go get this lady? So I say they filed a false report. So anyway, they had I guess they had some outrage over the confrontation, and the officials believe the police on the scene were within department guidelines. See, and I just read some of the stuff about what the guidelines for that they talked about. What he perceives to be reasonably necessary. You understand what I'm saying? Well, that's a pretty vague interpretation of any kind of law or guideline. Because if you go on police perception, then nobody's going to be convicted of anything. You understand that? Nobody's going to be convicted of anything. They're just going to say, "Hey, I perceived it to be necessary at the time." When like, hold up. Some people said it was unsettling, but just because we do certain things, should we? Can we get to the same place by utilizing different strategies? Look, this is all a bunch of, they're coming to the conclusion they were in department, acting within department guidelines. Well, guess what's going to happen as a result of that? Because right now, people are tired of people using the law to beat them down. They're waking up and they're saying, oh, that's a stretch. The whole trespassing thing is a stretch. The whole running the lady down, spraying her with mace, throwing her to the ground, for what? She's guilty of nothing. They should have kicked her out of jail, and she should have went right to a civil rights lawyer. But then again, nobody's going to help her because she's broke. So she'd be lucky if she gets some help. Considering brothers have been killed when turning their backs, leaving police, they did the least amount of confrontation with her. God forbid if one of these heroes feared for their life. You know what I'm saying? Because but the statement made, it must come to a resolution of certain situations with the least amount of confrontation involved. They said they should do that with the least amount. That wasn't the least amount of confrontation by the eye test. But when you consider, right, brothers getting murdered for turning their back, right, that was the least. When you look at the big picture, people actually losing their lives. She got shot with pepper spray. We got people getting shot with bullets. So if you look at it like that, that was the least. The video also captured an officer arguing aggressively with a bystander who was filming on the scene with his cell phone. I know you got a job to do, the bystander says, before the officer cuts him off. Officer tells the bystander to shut the hell up and get out of here. More aggression to the black community. This bystander was a black man filming on his camera, his phone, cell phone. More intimidation. They appear to function on intimidation, intimidating folks. That is unbecoming an officer. Is that what they teach in the police academy? Rochester Police Accountability Board said in a statement it was disturbed by the last footage and noted troubling parallels with a confrontation with the nine-year-old girl, right? Both incidents involved black mothers, both involved black children, Both involve black people obviously in crisis. Both involve officers using pepper spray on or around a black child. Well, that is an indication that it was reasonable to pepper spray the woman who was in distress if there was no child around. Neither family crisis teams nor mental health professionals were called to either scene, they said. And both involved apparent intimidation by bystanders filming the incidents, right? Without the courage of those bystanders who were willing to stand up and hold the police accountable by both incidents may never have been brought to light, they said. The department is still dealing with the consequences of steaming from the death a year ago of Black Rochester resident Daniel Perdue. Officers put a spit hood over his head to subdue him after he was found wandering the streets naked. His death was ruled a homicide caused by complications of asphyxia in the setting of physical restraint. So they strangled this man. So Rochester police are not trained to do their job. Not being held accountable. I mean, if it's your job to watch a kid and you do something to that child, aren't you going to be held accountable for that? Parents are. They're their job to raise children, but if they abuse their children, they have to be held. They are held accountable for that. How come the police not being held accountable? Do they get a green card to just do anything? Because I'm a police officer. I'm acting within the boundaries of my job. It don't make sense to me. You know, it seems like the idea is like, why not abuse them? Black people are not really human, are they? That's the message I'm getting. I don't know about y'all, but we're running out of time. And but that story has more to it than just pepper spray. That's racial profiling. It has no respect for the rights of black folk, as you can see. No respect for the life of black people. And just straight up, you can just lie on a black person and some people will try to make something stick. We won't get them for something. God forbid you be afraid and run away. If you're lucky, you get pepper sprayed. If you're not lucky, you get shot in the back, like Walter Scott. Till next week, y'all. Each one reach one, each one teach one. Peace out, y'all.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.